Well, it's good to be here once again. And, got a little bit of rest this afternoon. How many got to take a nap? I didn't get to take a nap. I just don't normally take naps, but I did get to just sit back and relax and rest, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate the hospitality that the church has showed us. I count it an honor to have been here, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's been wonderful to get to know you a little bit better than just hearing things about the church. It's good to finally meet folk and get to know you a little bit, and you all have really took care of my family and I wonderfully, and I appreciate that so much. The missions apartment is it's a blessing, and I just want to again thank you for all your hospitality. At this time, if you'll find your Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalm 1, and we're going to begin at verse number 1. This evening, the Lord's laid a thought on my heart that we'll be looking at several different scripture, and I won't apologize for that. I don't normally preach messages where I have you turning a whole lot, but the Lord's laid it on my heart, and I'm going to follow His leadership. And some of the scriptures I'll just read to you to save you the fast turning. But at any rate, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures tonight. If you found Psalm 1, we'll ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word out of honor and respect for the Lord and His Word. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Heavenly Father, Lord, again, Lord, I come to you tonight. God, I need you. I need your help, Lord. I stand here, God, where if it was of me, Lord, it would be just a letdown and a failure, God. But, Lord, I know I need you, Lord. I don't want nothing to be said or done, Lord, that you don't lead. God, that you don't have to be said or done. And, God, I just want to obey your will. And, Father, I pray, God, now, Lord, that you'll bless the message tonight. God, use it how you see fit. Lord, hide us behind the cross of Calvary. And God will not fail to give you honor and glory and praise for everything, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. I want us to take this thought out of verse number 3 here. The Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree." Tonight I want to preach to us a thought of be like a tree. We need to be like a tree. And as I get to thinking about this, I notice that if we was to look at all the different trees, we would notice that a tree always grows in four specific areas. Now, there's an order to the growth, but at the same time, they also grow at the same time. First of all, when a tree, after the seed had been planted, and it decides when it sprouts and it starts to grow, the first thing that it grows is down. It grows roots getting down. And then secondly, it grows up. It starts sprouting forth out of the dirt, and then thirdly, it starts growing on the inside. It would be a shame if the tree came out just a little twig and it never grew on the inside and it just kept expanding, but the inside done nothing. That would be a shame. Wouldn't it just have a big old holler tree? And that wouldn't work out too well at all. And then fourthly, it always grows out. It branches out. And so I want us to look at this. Through a tree's life, it constantly is growing in all four areas. But at the same time, it had to start and it goes in a certain direction. And tonight I want us to think about our lives and ourselves to be like a tree, and we need to grow in these same areas, down, up, inside, and out. All right? And so we're going to look at these. We'll break these down just a little bit, and I believe that if we'll allow it to, God will use this, and it'll be a help to us tonight. And so I want us to look, first of all, at a tree and how it grows down. At a child of God, they must first grow down. They must get rooted in God's Word. We need to get rooted in God's Word as God's children. And so I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Why should we get rooted in God's Word? The Bible says, study, first of all, to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We must be getting rooted in God's Word, one, to be approved of God. To be approved unto God. Then it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to get rooted in God's Word so that we are not going to be ashamed. We need to get founded in God's Word. We need to build our life upon God's Word so that we're not ashamed of God. We need to understand why we serve God. We need to understand what the Bible teaches us, how that we should live by. And so we need to get rooted, just as a tree gets rooted. We, as God's children, we need to get rooted in God's Word. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 15 and 28. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. Getting rooted in God's Word. The Bible says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Get rooted in God's Word. Study to answer. There's going to be questions asked as you are out witnessing, as you are out on visitation, as you're out looking to lead a lost soul to the Lord. There's going to be questions asked. Study to answer. Now, may I tell you, it's not wrong to not know the answer. What's wrong is when we say, "Well, I'll tell you what I think," or "I'll tell you what it should be," or this, that, or the other, and we start making stuff up. That's where we mess up, and that's where we go wrong. I would much rather tell someone I don't know than to lead them wrong. I would much rather say I don't know. And it's not wrong to not know, but we need to find out. We need to get in God's Word, study. Call someone that we have confidence in and say, "Can you help me with this question? Can you help me with this? Can you help me get a little more rooted in God's Word in this area so that I can give the correct answer, so that I can show them from God's Word the correct answer?" Again, it's not wrong to not know, but we need to try to find out. We need to get rooted in God's Word. Well, what's some ways to get rooted in God's Word? Well, Sunday school. Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday evening service. As we do Bible studies, they're excellent ways to get rooted in God's Word. But beyond that, these are ways to teach us how to feed ourselves from God's Word. This is ways to teach us how to feed ourselves. When we come to church, we are literally being, if you will, kind of fed, okay? Imagine taking and spoon feeding someone, all right? We're being fed when we're at church. But what happens the rest of the week when we're at home? What happens, there are 7 days to the week. And so what happens if we're only going to get rooted in God's Word on Sundays and on Wednesdays? We need to be getting rooted in God's Word every day. It is very important for a child of God to have a daily devotional time, to have a daily time of getting alone in God's Word and seeking what the Lord will speak to their heart out of His Word. Every time I get in God's Word, you know, He speaks to me through it. I can reread the same Scripture next week and God will, you know, speak to me through it. Sometimes I like to call them little nuggets that God gives me. I can look at a Scripture that I've looked at 100 times and it's like all of a sudden something pops out and it's like, "Wow, I never saw that there. Where did that come from?" I call those little bitty nuggets as I'm getting rooted in God's Word. And I'm continuing. As I said, this is a constant growth. We can get a little bit of roots or we can get deep roots. And so it's important for the Christian to continuously grow with their roots in God's Word. We need to get rooted. The tree's foundation is right there at the ground. That's what it's what it's holding it up. That's what's the dirt's kind of, it's packed around the roots and it's holding that great big massive tree up. Our foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. Our foundation needs to be built upon God's Word. We need to build our lives and our foundation, our homes, upon godly principles. We need to get rooted in God's Word. Think about this. Now, I mentioned this morning, I don't want to mention this too much, but I love to eat. I love to eat. And you all have accommodated that well this week or this weekend. I appreciate that so much. You all have been a blessing, and I can't thank you enough. But if I was to go a full day without eating physical food, now I would survive, but I would get off a week, wouldn't I? You would too, right? You might survive the whole day. You would be able to survive the day, but you'd be like, man, I really wish I had something to eat. And I'm getting weak. I'm getting weak in body. I can't even go to Walmart and shop. I can't go down to the Bass Pro Shop and do any, shopping for hunting stuff. Or I'm too weak to go do anything because I physically did not eat. Do you realize as God's children, when we decide to skip our spiritual eating, we are becoming weak. We are getting weak. It is more important to feed on God's Word than it is to feed on a T-bone steak. It is more important to feed on God's Word than it is to feed on a bologna sandwich. Getting rooted in God's Word. First of all, the tree grows down. You all have sycamore trees down here. You call them cottonwoods. Up home in Indiana there, some people call them sycamore. Some people call them cottonwood. Sycamore trees, they get huge. They get real tall, great big round. But their roots grow right up on top of the ground. They have no deep roots. And that's why so many times when high winds come along, the sycamore trees just fall over. They have no strong foundation. They have nothing really binding them to the ground. 90% of the roots is getting up on top of the ground. When we as God's children decide to get just rooted enough that we can show everybody how smart we are in God's Word. We can show folks just how much we know. We're allowing our roots to just grow up on top of the ground, but we're not building a foundation and allowing our roots to get really firmly grounded in the Lord, not getting firmly grounded in His Word. We're just like a sycamore tree. And when the high winds of life, when our troubles and our trials come along, we as Christians are just going to fall over. We need to get, as God's children, grounded in God's Word. We need to get, as God's children, we need to constantly be growing with rooting in the Word. We need to get deep roots in God's Word. First of all, it grows down. Secondly, I mentioned a tree grows up. It comes out of the ground and starts immediately shooting straight up. I would like us to look at that as we are growing as a tree, our prayer life. Our prayer life. We need to get a good prayer life established in our life. You know, it's a lot of people take this for granted, but we as God's children are so fortunate. We are so blessed to be able to have a direct line to God. There is no busy signal. There is no call waiting. There is no answering service. There is no, well, I'm out of range for the cell phone tower. There is none of that stuff. God's always there. He's always ready to listen to His children. He's always ready to hear what His children have need of. Although He already knows, He still wants to hear from us. We need to, as God's children, get a good prayer life developed. Look with me right there at verse 29 of Proverbs chapter 15. The Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." He heareth the prayer of the righteous. May I tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, the only prayer that God will hear from a lost person is, "Lord, please forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I need You. I want to trust in Your Son and what He has done on the cross of Calvary to pay my sin's penalty." That's the only prayer that a lost person can pray that God will hear. I've heard countless people say, "Well, I pray to God all the time." And I've even had prayers come through to where I know God's listening to me. You know what John 9:31 says? John 9:31. I'm going to flip over and read it to you real quick. It says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." The only prayer that a lost soul can pray is, "Lord, please forgive me a sinner. Come into my heart. Save me from my sins. Lord, help me," as Peter did this morning as we looked at, "Lord, save me." That's the only prayer that a sinner can pray. But that verse goes on and says, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." Now then, if you're saved tonight, God wants to hear from His children. But may I tell you, if you're not in God's will, the only prayer that God's going to listen to is, "Lord, forgive me. I need to get back in Your will. Please forgive me." And until you get back in God's will, He don't have to hear your prayer. That's what the Bible says right here. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." We need to be in God's will with our life. We need to be found in the center of God's will. It's very easy to get out of the will of God. But may I tell you, if you're here tonight and you're out of God's will, it's very easy to get back in. All you got to do is just, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I've messed up. And You've showed me that. I need You. I need to get back in line with You. Lord, forgive me." We need to get a good prayer life developed. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 17, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Are you telling us that we need to go around with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, 24 hours a day, talking to the Lord and praying to God? No. No, I'm not saying that at all. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I believe this is telling us that we need to have a constant attitude of prayer. We need to constantly have an attitude of prayer. You realize that we can talk to God without ever closing our eyes? You know, we can talk to God without ever bowing our head. We can talk to God all day long. Just as well as I can walk up to any one of you and have a conversation, I can call out on God and just have a conversation with Him, just between me and Him. Pray without ceasing. We need to have an attitude of prayer in our lives. We need to get rooted in God's Word, and then we need to develop a prayer life. And we need to get a good prayer life, talking to God regularly, having an attitude of prayer constantly, praying without ceasing. Verse 18 goes on to say, "In everything give thanks." That is hard. In everything give thanks. There's a friend of mine up home that has a young little boy that has muscular dystrophy. And I was talking with him one day. He said that there was a man at his work that they found out that their child had muscular dystrophy as well. And Brother Jerry had been talking with this man and trying to help him. The man was lost. And Brother Jerry had been talking to him and consoling with him about this disease that he had had a lot of experience with his son. And the man was mad at God. "If God was such a good God, why did He do that to my kid?" is what the other gentleman said. And Brother Jerry started quoting Scripture. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks." He said, "You don't know how much time that you will be privileged to have with your child." He said, "You better be thankful for what God has blessed you with and the time that He gives you with that child. In everything, give thanks." When we think about our trials and our troubles and the things that we go through in life, sometimes things get pretty hard to handle. Sometimes things bear upon us and it's hard to understand how this is happening, why this is happening. And it makes it even harder to say thanks. It's hard when the Bible tells us in everything give thanks. It's hard. But yet we need to do it. We need to understand that we need to be thankful. We don't understand. Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. He knows so much better than you or I ever will. And we need to be thankful. Give God thanks for the things that He has given to us. Things that have come upon us. We need to still continually give God thanks. The verse goes on to say, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to develop a prayer life. Get rooted in God's Word. Develop a prayer life. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Thirdly, it grows on the inside. The heart of the tree grows. Like I said, if that tree did not grow on the inside, it would just be a great big hollow shell that would never be worth anything. It must grow on the inside. We as God's children need to grow on the inside. Let's look over at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse number 36. The Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." As we think about the growing of the tree on the inside of the heart, the Bible tells us that you must believe with all thine heart. So many folks want to say, well, I've been taught in Sunday school. I grew up knowing this. I grew up knowing that. You know, I heard when I was just a child that Jesus was born of a virgin. And so I've got the head knowledge that that's what took place. And I even heard that He came and to die for my sins. So I've got that head knowledge. He even went to the cross of Calvary and He laid down His life freely. I've got that head knowledge. And I even heard once that He rose again on the third day. And so, I've got that head knowledge. That head knowledge won't help you. Having a head knowledge, you'll go straight to hell. So many folks want to look at having a head knowledge that it's going to get them somewhere. The only place it'll get you is to hell. The Bible says, believest with all thine heart. You got to have a heart knowledge. You must know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. And you must believe it with all thine heart, not with your head. With all thine heart. And as God's children, we need to constantly be growing on the inside. If we'll get rooted in God's Word, get a prayer life developed, I will promise you, God will point things out to you in your life. And as you grow as a child of God, there'll be things that you're going to want to change. You're going to want to get some things out of your life, and you're going to long and want to get things in your life. Man, I wish I could be half the person that they are. I wish I could be half the Christian they are. As we look at those who have been saved and in the way for 40 plus years, we look at those and we say, I wish I could be half of the person they are. You know, they are so on fire for God. You know, they do so much for the Lord. I wish that it could be me. There's going to be things we want to change. We're going to see things, and as we get in God's Word, God will convict us of things to change. Get this out of your life. Get rid of that. So we're growing on the inside. We must grow on the inside. Otherwise we'll be that hollow shell. And when those winds come by, if we're not rooted deep, if we're not rooted strong, we're not rooted firm, we have no prayer life, and all we are is a hollow shell, we're going to fall over. We're just going to blow down. And we're going to say, well, I tried the God thing, but it just didn't work for me. No, my friend. You didn't try. It's time to try. Get rooted. Spend some time in God's Word. Allow Him to speak to you through His Word. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time letting God clean up our inside. Let God change what He needs to change. Fourthly, a tree grows out. Its branches grow out. It reaches out. In our Christian walk, we need to have outreach. We need to have outreach. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Go ye. Not go, Brother Kevin. Not go, Miss Jessica. Not go, and you can put your name there. The Bible says, go ye. That's talking to every one of His children. We must have outreach. We must have outreach. But Brother Kevin, what's some ways of outreach? How can I outreach? How can I do what you're talking about? We could go through a long list of different things to reach out. First and foremost, as I told you this morning, I love missions. I love missions. You say, but Brother Kevin, that's not even here. How am I outreaching? By help and support. Look at the outreach. You say, well, okay, but what's some little things? Well, we can go real little. I told some folks at our church, I said, you realize that working in that nursery is an outreach? I said, because you having the willing heart to take care of those little babies, while mom and dad are able to sit and listen to, concentrate, and not have to be worrying about what little one's crying about or what little one's doing, by you having that willing heart to take care of those little ones, mom and dad might get saved. Look at the outreach on something so minute in most folks' mind as the nursery. And the list can go on and on. Sunday school teaching, church cleaning. When I think about cleaning a church, I look at that as outreach. Imagine if it didn't get done. If nobody cleaned the church building, visitors walked in, you think they're going to want to come back? You think they're going to want to come back? I don't think so. Look at the outreach just by saying, Lord, let me help keep your facility clean. That way when those come, when visitors come, when lost people walk through these doors, they can say, these folks love God. Look how well they take care of the building. That's outreach. And the list can go on and on. Upkeeping on the building, grounds maintenance, opening the doors to your home, reaching out and inviting folks, working with them, teaching them, helping them. Outreach. Look with me at Matthew 12, verse 33 and 34. As we think about how a tree grows down, up, inside and out, and we've likened that to our life as a child of God. The Bible tells us in verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good. How's the tree going to be good? It's got good roots. It's heading up. It's growing on the inside. And it's reaching out. How's the tree good? And is fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt? And his fruit corrupt. The tree is known by his fruit. You as a child of God are known by your fruit. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is your tree good? Or is your tree corrupt? Now only you can answer that. What's your fruit? Are you getting rooted in God's Word? How's your prayer life? How's God dealing with you on the inside? How's our outreach? Is your tree good or is your tree corrupt? Look with me at Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He hath planted." The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now, if a tree don't have sap, it's just dead wood standing. You know what that means? Sap means it's alive and growing. It's living. It's growing. As you look at your life tonight as a tree, do you have any sap? Are we living for God? Are we growing for the Lord? To be full of sap means that we're alive, we're living for the Lord, and we're growing for the God. Or are we just dead wood standing? The last scripture we're going to look at tonight is Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Why get rooted in God's Word? So God can be glorified. Why get a good prayer life developed? So God can be glorified. Why allow God to work and change things inside our lives so He can be glorified? Why reach out to a lost and dying world? So God can get honor and glory. So more lost souls can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and get honor and glory for that. It's all about God. It's not about you or I. And so tonight, I want to have you think about this thought. What kind of a tree am I? What kind of a tree for the Lord am I? Am I a sycamore tree? Am I a good oak tree where my roots go deep? What kind of a tree for the Lord is my life? Do I have sap? Am I alive? Am I living for the Lord? Am I growing for God? Do I have sap? You say, "Brother Kevin, you're crazy." Well, might be. But I'm being serious. As we liken our life to being a tree for the Lord, is God glorified by our tree? Is God glorified? Verse 3 says, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Again, it's not about you or I. It's about God. Everything in our life needs to be focused upon glorifying God, giving God honor and glory, and none for us. How is your tree? Are you getting rooted? Are you utilizing your prayer life? Do you believe wholeheartedly? And are we reaching out and spreading Jesus to the world? I'll ask us all to stand tonight. Lord, I thank You, God, for the day that You've blessed us to have. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight that for someone here, God, that don't know You in the free pardon of sin, God, that they will understand, God, that they're just dead wood. There's no life. They've not yet been quickened. And Lord, they need to be before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, I pray, God, for the one that's here, God, that Lord, that You're dealing with their hearts in different areas, Lord, of God, I pray that they will be obedient and allow the growth on the inside to take place. And Lord, right now, God, as the song is being prepared, I pray, God, that You will have Your will and Your way in the invitation. And God, that all the hearts and the souls that are here, Father, will be obedient to whatever You would have for their life. Bless us now, Lord, with the invitation in Jesus' name and amen.